So Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to go. I want to look at the topic of trustworthy information. Deuteronomy, if I can get there. And in verse 1, it says, Paul, would you be blessed to read the first 10 verses nice and loud? So, the King James Version. First 10 verses,
first
please.
10 verses. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee.
Well, what great blessings that were going to follow them when they believed him. And in verse 11, he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with thee, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Right? The whole chapter talks about the great blessings that were going to follow them if they trusted God. But it also says in there that after God had blessed them, that they were not to forget what he had done for them. See, I mean, there was no question the blessings were going to be there. They were going to be there. God said, you're going to get blessed, and it's going to happen. You're going to go there. Don't forget. See, it was a matter of who they trusted. They were going to get blessed, and all of a sudden, they were going to stop trusting him. And when God says, no, well, I brought you here. I did all this for you. Don't stop trusting me. It was a matter of trust, right? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a lot of verses in the Bible or sections that talk in a similar fashion about who it is we actually trust. So in Deuteronomy, God told them, don't stop trusting me. I'm the one who did all this for you. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read in verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. See, there was no problem in the Old Testament with them getting all those blessings, was there? God didn't say, I don't want you to have all this. He says, when you get blessed, remember who it is you trust. And here in Timothy, he says, those that are rich, they're not to trust in the riches, they're to continue to trust in the living God. Right? Just like he told Israel, you keep trusting in me because you're going to get all these blessings, the vineyards are going to come, and all that stuff is going to be there for you. Trust me. Here Paul writes by revelation, charge them that are rich that they not be high-minded, nor trust. See, it's the issue of trust. Nothing wrong with the blessings in the Old Testament or the riches here he's talking about in the New Testament. It's a matter of where does our trust lie, right? Look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Where are we here? Again, we could look at a bunch of verses on trust, but just a few. Psalm 118, verse 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So God continually reminds his people, you know, trust in me, not in people, not in princes, not in riches, not in blessings. All the things that, you know, that a person can start in a job, family, all these things that a person can trust in, God says, trust in me. Proverbs 19, please. Now, I said that the teaching today wasn't trustworthy information. So I guess we better look at that now. But first, I want to deal with those verses and talking about who it is that we're to trust. You see, the issue of trust doesn't change when it comes to information. We just side with, you know, riches and blessings and all this. But how about information? Right? In Proverbs 19, it says in verse 21, there are many devices in a man's heart. No question, there are. Nevertheless, it's the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Right? In every case, it's what God counsels, it's what the blessings, it's the information that God gives that will stand no matter how many devices, how many ideas. We heard earlier, we prayed in prayer that God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways. No matter how many things we might think about or it's God's counsel, it's his word, that information, that will always stand. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. The information comes at us in various ways. Right? You're constantly, and even more so today, being fed with information of one sort or another. Right? And that's not about to change unless you are completely into Amish thinking. But, not to be critical of the Amish, but, where you sequester yourself away and block yourself off from all sorts of information will come at you. In Psalm 119, 42, let's read what it says. Verse 42, sorry. 119, verse 42. So shall I have... Where am I here? Sorry, verse... Let's try verse 86. I'm not sure what the... verse 86. All thy commandments... Here it is. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. It says here that all of God's commandments are faithful. Verse 138, the same chapter, very long chapter. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. See, God's word, his commandments are faithful. They're very faithful. And then in verse 160, it reads, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. See, God's word, the words that are written here are faithful, very faithful, will last forever. So you would think that this is a pretty good source of information, isn't it?
is faithful.
And we didn't read. We got to read the whole chapter, Psalm 119, right? You guys know the chapter. There are a lot of other things God says about His Word there, about being true, right, stands forever, faithful. You know, they're to be desired more than honey, more than riches, more than wealth. It's God's Word is to be desired. So the information that comes at you from God's Word is always faithful, always reliable, without question. Always. So you would think this is a source of information that we never want to turn ourselves off to. Yeah? And in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Study to show that, verse 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of possibility. Right? No, it says the word of truth. Right? This is the word of truth. If you want truth, allow the information in here to come at you regularly. Right? I'm very concerned about the information that comes at me. I'm very much concerned about it. And I know we should all be concerned about the information that comes at us, at our children, at a constant level, right? God, we just read a few verses about what is it that you trust, right? What is it you trust in life? God says, you know, you can get the blessings and all these things, but in the end, I want you to trust me, right? Look at 2 Kings chapter 6, please. So the area of information, we've just seen that the Word, and we could have read another 1,000 verses maybe that say the same thing. Then there are times in life where you just can't find in God's Word what it is you need, the information you need. It's just not there because your particular situation requires some specific information. And it's not there. So what do you do then? Well, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for there thither the Syrians are come down. So, you know, the Syrian king said he's going to have his camp right here. The man of God told the king of Israel, don't go over there because the king has his camp over there. Right. I'm sure the man of God had his CNN feed on to figure that out, right? Where it was. No. Verse 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him off and saved himself there not once, nor twice, many times, basically. Many times the king of Syria tried to set something up, and the man of God got the information that was required to say, don't go there, and he saved his life, right? You think that was reliable information, right? We've just read the Word of God, written Word here, is very reliable, always, every word, faithful, very faithful, true, righteous, right? Never to be doubted. And here in this situation, this man needed information, and information was reliable. Right? Absolutely. Verse 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Which one of you guys in my cabinet are passing information to the man of God and telling him where my camp is going to be? Right? Who's the plant, right? What's the word, the spy word? Mole. Thank you. Who's the mole? And verse 12. And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And your bedchamber is not bugged, okay? So he's not bugged, but he's hearing things you speak to your wife. Forget about where your camp is going to be, right? And this, you know, it's a figure of speech. Basically, the king of Israel, Elisha, is getting the information that is required, right? Did Elisha have the spirit you and I have, right? Did he have spirit born within that he couldn't lose?
No.
Had Jesus Christ yet come and accomplished all that was required for man's redemption and salvation and made available the Holy Spirit the way you and I have it today, right? Do you think that you might have access to similar information when you need it, right? Yeah, no question, right? I'm here. This is information that was reliable. It saved the king of Israel's life and the rest of the army as well. Right, it's another figure of speech, not just the king's life, the rest of the army, because they would all gone. The king never really went by himself to attack the enemy in the Old Testament, right? It's always the enemy went with him, the army went with him. In 1 Corinthians 12. That was critical information. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, another the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But all these work at the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he," and that's referring to the man who's operating, "as he wills." You know, here it talks about the manifestation of the Spirit that are available to every believer all the time, right? And you know, every time I think about the manifestations that are available to me and you, I think about how many of them are in the category of information, right? You know, we get information all the time, right? We're getting information. I mean, you're getting information now from me, hopefully, that it's the truth. If it's not, well, I stand before God for not giving the truth. But you're getting information constantly. You know, I'm very concerned about information that comes at us because I know the power of it. I think you do as well. You know, recently there was a video game that came out on mobile devices that it just came out, right? Within a period of a few weeks. Did you ever see those pop-up ads that you get on video games? They pop up and they give you a little ad. A little ad shows up. You know, it's a little, and all it is you know, people who are playing the game don't really want to see the ad, right? But you get it anyway, right? A pop-up ad. So this guy who invented this game was making $50,000 a day from pop-up ads, right? Why would companies pay so much money for a little pop-up ad that comes at you constantly, right? Why? Why would they? Because information that's directed at you works, right? Information you constantly feed to your mind will have an impact on you whether you believe it or not, right? You know, we've been doing Proverbs for the kids. I've been doing Proverbs for the kids recently, and you know, we've noticed, guys, repetition, right? How many times they'll say, "Well, that's the same verse we just read." A little, it's not the same verse. It's saying the same thing because God is the one who invented the benefit of information coming at us regularly, at us believing it, because He knows how man's mind works. If God tells you, once He loves you, He knows you're not going to believe Him. Well, if He tells you twice, you might think about it. If He tells you three, how about He tells you 1,000 times in His Word He believes you? He knows you've got a better chance of believing that He loves you. Right? Why does God repeat Himself? I know I have never had to repeat myself to my kids, right? Right. Why? Because, you know, that's just the way information is. So, you know, God understands how man's mind works. We should understand how our mind works. You know, if I feed myself the right information enough, right, and it's up to me, that's why I'm concerned about the information that I feed my mind, my eyes, my ears, right, because we know the impact it has. And God, here, speaking in tongues with interpretation. Interpretation is what? It's words that are spoken to bless you. Is it information? Yeah, absolutely. Prophecy, information, to build you up, edify you. You see how much of God, how many of the 9 manifestations, right? How many are related to some kind of information? 5 of the 9, right? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, right? Word of knowledge, God gives you information about situations like Syrian kings camping somewhere where it's Israelite kings should know where they are, right? There's nothing in the Bible that says every time the king of Syria is going to have his camp here on this hill. No, It's information that was required. Word of wisdom, Elisha, and word of knowledge, God told Elisha, Elisha, that is what's going to happen. How about word of wisdom? What are you going to do with the information? Well, in this case, it was pretty simple. Don't go there, right? Don't take your army and go over there, right? Information. It's just information. Was it necessary information? Oh, my goodness. Save people. You know, we just look at one record. I know you guys know there's 100 records in the Bible about the same similar thing, but it's information that comes out. Discerning of spirits. Whether you know a person has the spirit of God or a devil spirit and whether you should get rid of it or not, right? That would be good information to know, yeah? You know, you're not going to get that directly from the Word of God, are you? It doesn't say every time a person has a spirit that you should cast it out. It doesn't say that. Otherwise, Jesus Christ would have cast out everyone. Did he cast spirit everybody met? No, he didn't. Did he heal everybody met? No, he didn't. How would you know? Where are you going to get that information? I guarantee you, you're not going to get it from your favorite search engine, right? That information won't be there, right? It's not. Look at Ephesians 6, please. So, you know, we've looked at a few verses on information, and we've seen that the information in God's Word is reliable, it's faithful, very faithful, right? True and righteous altogether, to be sought after. We didn't look at all the verses, but it does say that in the Word. And we saw a little bit on the other information that's available, you know, the manifestations, how it blesses us, builds us up. Critical information, again, reliable. In every single case, reliable, reliable, reliable. So you and I have access to multiple kinds of very trustworthy and very reliable information. Yeah, I would think so. We're very blessed people. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or from on high. Here God tells us to put on the whole armor of God, which has to do with the Word of God and the manifestations are all involved. But why? Because the devil is wily. Right? It says here we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, right? And it says there that we're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against those wiles. And then we were looking at this week at about the first characteristic of the adversary in the Bible is what? Subtle, right? The beast, the serpent was more subtle. That's the first characteristic that is God reveals to us in his word about the adversary is that he's subtle. Right? We would take, you know, it would be important for us to take heed to that warning that he is very, very subtle in his approach. You know, there is a constant, and you know, again, there are a lot of other scriptures we could go to where God has revealed to us that the kingdom of the adversary is a kingdom. It is organized. There are targeted attacks. It's not random. It is targeted, organized, directed at the believer to have them not serve or walk with God. That's what it is, right? And how does the adversary accomplish that? Whichever way he can, right? And a lot of it is centered around being fed the wrong information constantly. If you get fed the wrong information constantly, you will start to believe the wrong information. Remember, it's a matter of trust. What do you learn to trust? You know, there are maybe, I'm probably not off the mark here, there are probably a billion websites available now. Maybe it's less than that. Maybe it's 100 million. I don't know. I don't look at the stats. There are websites available today, right? There, you can subscribe to 100,000 Twitter feeds, right? You can subscribe to hundreds of thousands of RSS feeds. You can subscribe to various email groups. You can be constantly fed information at a very, very rapid rate. And you know, people are willing to give you information. You don't have to even ask for it. They're willing to give it to you. Right? Thank you very much. I never asked for it. Why would I want information I never asked for? But the entire economy of the world is going to a model where you are being given information constantly, whether you want it or not. Why? $50,000 a day, right? They know it works, right? They know it works, right? You will, the information will have an impact on you. So it's up to me and you to say, no, 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 yes, no. It's up to you. You know, again, look at Romans chapter 12, please. And, you know, you'll see that these days information has started to empower those who have it, right? People have information. You know, do you ever, you know, people get really anxious when they get a bit of information. They want to be the first ones to tell somebody else, right? You ever find that? Someone finds out something, a score of a game or something. They want to be the first ones to tell somebody. The entire media is based on that, is it not? Right? They want to get the information out. So information is so vital to them. Got to have it. Got to give it. Got to put it out there, right? Because it has an impact, right? So when you need vital information, right? Vital information for your life, where are you going to go? Right? You know, I mean, I can go to my favorite search engine like that and get information. And you know what? I'd say a huge percentage of the world will go there first. Yeah? And it's becoming the norm to ask a complete stranger for vital information than the God who created the heavens and the earth, whose information is always reliable and always trustworthy and never will let you down, right? Never. And you know what? And you may say, well, you know, it's not like it just, it just happens because you're so used to it, right? We become so acclimatized to receiving information that we don't even question anymore, right? Of course, this website will have the right information. Of course, you get into the habit of thinking that way, and you don't even question anymore. I need help. Let's say I've got a very, you know, sickness. I need help. Let's go to the medical site. Let's wait a minute. Right? I seem to remember there was a God who said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Right? By the stripes of my Son, you've been healed. Why would I go anywhere else than to the source for the most reliable information on the planet, right? And on every other planet, right? He made them, right? So he ought to be the reliable source everywhere, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, let's look at it. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God's exhortation is for us not to be, you know, that, you know, molded, where you're just, you know, you get a little mold and you hear that little, and you're molded to something that the world wants to mold you to. The world wants you to accept its information. And again, when I say these things, I am not knocking technology. I'm not. I work in technology, right? It's like God said, "Trust me." He didn't say the blessings were bad. He said, "Fine, you got the blessings. Don't forget who gave them to you," right? He tells people in Timothy, "Don't trust in uncertain riches. They're uncertain." Did he say the riches were bad? No. He said, "Don't trust in them," right? It's like the internet or all the other things. You know, you can get into, and I hate to do that kind of sequestered thinking where everything that has to do with technology is evil. Fine, you choose to think that way. That's your privilege. I'm not going to question it. But you see, it's like saying a hammer is bad because the occasional time you can bang your hand with a hammer. Is the hammer bad? No, it's a tool. It's what do you do with it, right? The whole point of the internet and all the other things that are out there, web and RSS feeds and all this stuff, right? What do we trust? Do we trust in God, or do we trust in the information being fed to us constantly? Are we being molded by the thinking of the world, or are we choose to think according to God's word? And trust me, it's getting harder and harder to keep your mind on God's word because of the constant things that are fed at us regularly, constantly, you know, pop-up ads and all this stuff constantly coming at us. And the isolation of the whole virtual world, the iPods and email and all this stuff and the headsets and all this thing are closing off people in a communication age to not communicating anymore, right? Right? They're communicating electronically, but not face-to-face. Now, you don't even want to go up and speak the word to somebody because they have a headset on. You may, "Oh, I don't want to interrupt them." Well, who gives a dang whether you interrupt them or not? Who cares? What better thing do they have to listen to than you, right? So, but I bet you feel bad about it. I told you the adversary is subtle, right? Do you think that this is all happenstance? That the world is getting cut off, people don't talk to anybody anymore, they have headsets on, no one's talking. Do you think that just happened? Or does the word say that evil is organized, has a kingdom, has a purpose, and is targeted, right? Do you think that the adversary isn't very blessed with believers feeling bad about talking to somebody? You know, 20 years ago, you would have thought nothing about talking to somebody because they didn't have that blasted headset on that you feel like you're interrupting them. So what has he achieved, right? What has technology done? It has made believers feel bad about speaking God's word, right? Maybe he didn't think of that, you know? But he's subtle, right? He's subtle. The entire attack is on the living God and those who serve him. That's all it is. Everything else is just, you know, a byproduct, right? The entire attack is on the word of God. If it causes you to shut your mouth and not speak his word, he has succeeded in doing what he wanted to do. No. So, you know, it's up to us. It's up to me and you to decide whether the information we're going to receive comes from a trustworthy source or we're going to be molded by the world and now start shifting our trust, our thinking, and our living according to the constant source of information. And, you know, and some of it may be reliable. There are websites that have biblical versions. Yes, they're a blessing. I like them. Right. See, the whole point is, what do you trust? What do we trust? And how is it impacting our day-by-day thinking? Are we allowing this source of unreliable information to mold the way that we live and walk and think and act, right? Or not, right? It's all up to us. What do we trust? And what information are we going to allow into our minds? And how are we going to allow it to shape what we do in life, right? So it's up to us.